Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, Virgin Most Powerful listeners. Before we get going, I'm going to start off. Behold the cross of the Lord. Be gone, all you evil powers. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The root of David is conquered. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. Thank you very much for tuning in to Jesus 911. You can see next to me, seated next to me is my ride-along for today, Terry Barber. Thank you. Welcome to Jesus 911.
I love going on ride-alongs with you, brother.
It's great to have you.
You bet.
Terry, we have to explain that Jesse's be gone the rest of this week.
That's right.
He's undergoing some training. He's attending some training out of state, and so he's unable to call. But we'll have him back on Monday, and
Amen.
He's going to have some startling, revealing news for us when he gets back. I understand.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're gonna have a couple of good topics today, Terry. We're gonna talk later on the third and fourth segments. We're gonna talk a little bit about ghosts. Everything you need to know about ghosts.
That's right.
And it's a very interesting topic. We're going to go back and forth on it. But to start off today, we're going to talk a little bit about a sermon for last Sunday, this past Sunday's a sermon by Father Lankett in the Diocese of Phoenix.
Amen.
Who gave, I would say, a grand slam a grand slam sermon that it should have been. I saw a picture of the church, and it wasn't packed. I wish it would have been packed.
Just to give a little background, Father Lankin is the priest that Jesse went to the California missions with Bishop Olmsted. And Bishop Lankin's been on the Terry and Jesse show several times. I've preached at that cathedral doing evangelization, and I've had lunch with him. This guy is the real deal, and he's rather young. He makes me look very old. But let's play if Mr. Engineer... No, he's not ready yet.
He's not ready yet. Okay. But this sermon that you're going to hear, ladies and gentlemen, is what really we should be hearing at every pulpit in the Catholic Church. We don't hear it very often, but when you hear it, man, you recognize it. And that's something that that we must, we have to pay attention to. We have to desire these kind. And this is what, Terry, I think we have to do. We have to motivate. We have to encourage the priests that are in our diocese to give us these kind of homilies. Don't shy away from them, because when we do, we're in trouble. We're going to dissuade them from trying to come out this way.
What happens is
we're in trouble. We're going to dissuade them.
Okay, we're having a little bit of a problem. I think we're almost ready. But Jesse, what happens is, I should say, Eddie, hang on a second. Okay, Eddie, what you just said is very true, because when you talk at church about the supernatural, that's what we're at church for the supernatural. Not to hear about jokes, not to hear about the movie, not to hear about the sporting events. That's all got its right place. But the homily, let's face it, the church teaches is to explain the word of God in our lives and how to apply it in our lives. And, you know, if we're not talking on the supernatural, I think we're missing the mark. And so I just want to encourage priests to do that. I think Mr. Engineer says we're ready for that clip.
Let's hear a few minutes of that clip.
The theme running through the scriptures for this Mass is the importance of persistent prayer. We'll consider the subject of perseverance in prayer more deeply in a few minutes. For now, let's focus on a particular question that Jesus posed in today's gospel, because the answer to that question helps us figure out what we can do in response to all of the turmoil in the church today, not only the issues of sexual sin and cover-up, but the equally troubling and severely damaging absentee fatherhood at the upper levels of the church hierarchy. Jesus posed this question to his listeners in today's gospel. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? In another translation of this same verse, Jesus' question reads this way. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? This latter translation holds an important key to a deeper reflection on today's readings, particularly in light of the current disorder in the church, and it all boils down to one word, serpent. The first mention of a serpent in the Bible is in the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. In the very next verses in this chapter of Genesis, the serpent turns his subtlety on Eve, convincing her to mistrust her true father and to shift her trust to him, the father of lies. The way Jesus worded his question in the gospel for this Mass is particularly relevant for us because it exposes just how subtle the father of lies is. Listen again to Jesus' words. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? The devil's initial tactic with Adam and Eve was to approach them as a serpent and to convince them to transfer their trust from God to him. Today, the devil's tactic is essentially the same, but in reverse. To get false fathers, corrupt cardinals, bishops, and priests, to hand their spiritual sons and daughters a serpent, a symbol for lies, when they ask for a fish, a symbol for Jesus Christ. He convinces cowardly clergy to mislead their people instead of leading them to the truth, to Jesus. So the answer to the question, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? The answer is any member of the church hierarchy who deliberately hands on false teaching disguised as compassion, who responds with silence when clarification of his confused teaching is requested, and who offers worldly solutions to spiritual problems while ignoring their root causes, namely disobedience, dissent, and sin. Such false fathers are more prominent, much bolder, and more influential in the church than I have ever seen in my Catholic life. And their duplicity causes many Catholics to question and some even to lose their faith. Here's the easiest way to spot one of these serpentine shepherds. When confronted with the issue of sexual abuse of adolescents, for example, serpentine shepherds are the cardinals, bishops, and priests who blame clericalism and celibacy. Real spiritual fathers confront the real problem. Infidelity to priestly vows rooted in deep-seated dissent from God's commandments. When confronted by the shortage of clergy, serpentine shepherds are the cardinals, bishops, and priests who push for married priests and promote the ordination of women. Real spiritual fathers confront the real problem, a cultural attitude that reviles authentic masculinity in society at large and the church in particular, thus depriving young boys of masculine examples of authentic self-sacrificial love. In other words, authentic fatherhood. The answer to Jesus' question, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? The answer to that question is any cardinal, bishop, or priest who subtly seeks to convince the faithful to put their trust in the father of lies instead of their father in heaven, to trust the prince of this world rather than the prince of peace, to provide human solutions to supernatural problems by putting forth politically correct policies instead of just condemning sin. When it appears to many of the faithful that the church is being destroyed from the inside by those who actively dismantle her teachings, we do well to take a cue from Abraham and his back and forth with God in our first reading for today's Mass from Genesis. God said to Abraham,
Okay, that's a real priest. That's amazing.
That's an amazing. Yeah. Like somebody said on YouTube, he reminds me of Father Bill Casey and Father John Croppy. He goes right to the point. Yeah. He doesn't mix it or match his words. I want to give us the benefit of hearing the last part of the sermon that he's talking about, the last part of the gospel reading. Mm-hmm. So let me read it real quick.
Good.
This is from Luke chapter 11, and there's a similar gospel in Mark. It says this. He goes, and I tell you, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish, or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? That's a reading that we missed there, but I think it was worth Terry playing that
entire
clip because it's there's so much meaning to what he's saying, and he revealed a lot to us. We're going to talk a little bit about this thing. Go ahead, Terry.
Now we're going to take a quick break, but I want to just give an example when we come back of what he meant by fatherhood in the clergy, absentee fathers in the clergy. I'm going to give you a really concrete example that's taking place at the seminary years back. And it's tragic because they didn't act like men. And what has happened is it's infected the church in a very bad way. And I hate to have to tell this story. It hurts me to have to tell you this. That's why, what did Our Lady of Fatima say? Souls are going to hell because no one's there to pray and make sacrifices for them. That's here at Jesus 911. We pray. We pray. Why? Because we know we're in trouble. And without prayer, that is the answer. Living a holy life or die trying. When we come back, I'll give you this quick story of an example of how there was a fatherless fatherhood in the spiritual life of the church that needs to change. You're listening to Jesus
911. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Terry Barber reminding you there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back to Jesus 911. Sergeant Eddie Chavez here. This is a place where three former law enforcement officers and their ride-alongs tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us God.
Amen.
Okay, so we're talking about Father Lankett's a sermon that we just heard.
Powerful.
Which is awesome. I wish we could hear homilies like that all the time.
Tell people to go to YouTube and type his name in. Yeah. They need to hear the whole 13 minutes.
And that's on the website today, so they can do that. But Terry, let's talk about this. Real quick, I wanted to show real quickly, just at the beginning of the catechism,
yes,
number 77, important. It says this: in order that the full and living gospel might always be preserved in the church, the apostles left bishops as their successors. They gave them their own position of teaching authority. Indeed, the apostolic preaching, which is expressed in a special way in the inspired books, was to be preserved in a continuous line of succession until the end of time. I see a problem with that, Terry. Not all the bishops are doing that, because there's definitely an issue.
And that's why Bishop Sheen, back in 1975, told you, Eddie, and me as laymen and laywomen to hold our bishops to being bishops. He said that who's going to save the church? Not our bishops, not our priests, but the lay people. And he gave us instructions to hold our bishops to being bishops and fathers, and the priests the same way, and our religious. And I give this example that I promised before the break. It hurts me to have to tell you this. Now, this story happened 20 years ago, and now it's cleaned up, thanks be to God, from what I understand. But at St. John's Seminary in the late 80s and the early 90s, my friends that were in seminary told me that the rector and the seminary allowed men to dress as women in high heels and women's coats to come in to pray in the morning, and they saw that as not a problem. See, here's my point. What happened to the fatherhood there of the rector, of the dean, to say, listen, dude, you know, you got some issues you need to work out, but the seminary is not the place for you. We're going to have you leave. No, what did they say? It's okay. Who am I to judge? And these guys now are homosexual priests, and they've caused so much havoc in the church. Right now, Eddie, the diocese of my diocese and yours in L.A. just as into another round of expensive litigation for Father Baker, who was, you know, doing bad things, immoral things in the church. Here's my point. Let's clean it up. And I think Archbishop Gomez is doing that. And I thank God that he's there, because I know the former dean, Anthony Lillis, told me things are a lot better. Now, why do I tell that story? Because fatherhood is not just lacking in the household of the laity. It's lacking in the priesthood and in bishops. And we need to humbly ask them to go back and be real fathers and care as a father would, and correct us when we're screwing up. That's all.
Terry, you know, let's make an analogy.
Go ahead.
Here. So what if a fatherhood happened, for example, something similar happened in the family? You or I, how would we have handled that? Terry, this is 40 years ago. My goodness, these guys are bishops by now.
Yeah.
So my question is this: how would we have handled that in our household? And so I'll tell you what, I was a teenager 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, okay, well, what would my father done if I came in dressed in high heels and a coat? You know what? He would have put an immediate stop to it.
Yeah.
I don't think there would have been any recourse to psychologists or anything. I think he would have dealt with it the way they had dealt with it then, with a belt. And you know what? This is what's not happening in the church today, Terry. They're allowing priests to go forward with this kind of behavior. And like you said, hopefully here, and I know St. John's, it's corrected, but you know, there's some other places in the world and in the States that are still not corrected. And this is what we're dealing with today with litigation, et cetera.
No question about it. You nailed it. Hey, I just got the website from my engineer, mycatholictube.com. It's the Diocese of Phoenix. That's where you can hear that whole sermon. I would ask you to pass it on to your own pastor and say, hey, Father, check this out. This is unbelievable. We really liked it. I think I've already played it to several priest friends, and they were all inspired by it to say, wow, he did a great job. I got to follow that. So that's why we put those inspirational recordings on. Because you know what, Eddie? I hate to have to talk about the muck of the church that's going on, but let's face it. You know, when you have cancer, if you deny that you have cancer,
not going to get fixed.
Exactly. So we've got cancer in the church.
Absolutely.
Let's deal with it, brother.
Absolutely. Terry, one of the things I wanted to bring out about Father's teaching, because this is, you know, what happens with a good priest when you get to hear a good homily like this is your mind goes to other godly things.
Absolutely.
This is what I was thinking of. I was thinking about obedience to the church, Terry.
Yeah.
So what about the, What about, for example, I heard Father Straub one time, God bless
his
soul.
Oh, he's a great priest.
Father Straub one time up in, I think it was Paso Robles, gave a story about Abraham and Isaac.
Yes.
And how he was obedient to the faith.
That's right.
And he was willing to even sacrifice, Terry, his own son, something that we could not even fathom. And what happened was, when he was about to do that, all the, you know, you got to read that, but the whole thing is that he was willing to do it. He didn't do it because God withheld him from doing it, but he was willing to sacrifice his own son in obedience to God.
Amen.
These bishops today, Terry, these priests today, some of them are literally ignoring being obedient to the bishops to the word of God because they are ignoring what they need to do. This is it's just very, very hard for me to get that.
Well, you nailed it. But Bishop Sheen spoke about this 30 years ago, and I'll never forget it. On a priest retreat, he was telling the priests, "Hey guys, let me tell you a story. Do you know that your priesthood is tied into your victimhood? Mm. That without Good Friday, there's no Easter Sunday." And what happened is there were about 7 seminarians, he tells the story, that they went to visit a woman in her iron lung. And this woman was what we call a victim soul. She offered all her suffering for the good of the church. And when she met these 7 young seminarians, she said through a communication that she was praying and that she would offer her life for the success of their priesthood, and that they should be good priests. And she said, "Don't ever forget, your priesthood is tied into your victimhood." And the 7 young men said to that woman, "Oh, lady, no, you're misunderstanding. We're going to have a good life. We got a rectory, we got a salary, got a car. We're going to live a real comfortable life. We're like excited about this." And the woman communicated back and says, "Young man, you're making me suffer greatly by that comment, because you have no idea what the priesthood is all about. And I'm going to pray that you have an understanding about your victimhood, because you're going to be an altar Christi. You're going to be another Christ. And just look at the crucifix and say to yourself, do I want to be crucified with Christ? If you guys say no, then leave the seminary because we don't need you." I thought that was a powerful comment.
That's very powerful, Terry. That's very powerful. And you think of what a priest does, and you know, their calling. They have to hear confessions. They love to hear confessions. Right. They're able to liberate people that way.
Amen.
But most of their life, like other adults, we have suffering. The catechism tells us that life is a battle. It's hard.
Exactly.
Life doesn't get here. Is this thing on? I don't want the young people to hear this, but life gets more difficult. It doesn't get easier.
That's right.
And the reality, Terry, is that the same thing happens with the priest. We have to continue to strive forward because, you know what? Like you said, there's no Easter Sunday until there's a Good Friday, and that's for everybody, not just the priests.
That's right. And that's what that story of Bishop Sheen really touched me. That's why I want to offer priest retreats by Archbishop Sheen. You know, if you want to give a priest retreat to your parishioner or to your pastor or associate, call me at the 877-526-2151 number, and we'll get you a copy of a whole weekend retreat. And give it to your priest. Say, "Father, I thought you might like this. It's on an MP3 disc. Check it out," because I've seen so much good come from Fulton Sheen's priest retreats. Matter of fact, Eddie, I have talked to dozens of young men that are priests today because they heard Bishop Sheen's priest retreat. So this is a way to reach out in a positive way. Hey, can I be real frank here?
Please.
We can talk about all the crummy things that are going on in the church, but let's talk about the solutions here at Virgin Most Powerful. Every show we do, you're sure we have to talk about the muck, but we always give solutions. And I believe with the beatification of Fulton Sheen, so many more people are going to be exposed to him. It's going to bless our church.
Yeah, Terry, you know, that's something I'm looking forward to. I know you're certainly looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, we have to push our priests, our bishops, to do the right thing.
That's
here.
Right.
To tell us about sin. Look, it's not like we don't hear about sin. We see it every day in the news, Terry.
Yeah.
We see it in politics. We see it in all these other medias. And so for them to tell us, this is sin, this is what's got to cease, and this is how to do it. Very simple solution. Very simple solution, Terry. Not everybody has the the courage to do that. And that pains me. That's difficult for me to think that a priest is not willing to put his head on the chopping block for me. That's difficult to hear.
I find it interesting, Eddie, what you're saying, because people outside the church, like Carl Menninger, a psychotherapist, a Jewish psychotherapist, in one of Bishop Sheen's priest retreats, said he wrote a book called Whatever Happened to Sin. And he actually said to the Catholics, hey, you guys are losing your zeal for talking about sin. You're just talking about having fun, but you guys aren't even bringing up sin anymore. What's your problem? That's a Jewish man. Yeah. And then what's Dr. Peterson saying to us just Jordan Peterson last week or 2 weeks ago, telling us as a Catholic church.
Telling
Bishop Barron, hey, you guys are stopped focusing so much on mercy. What about the justice of God? And I think about this, that even non-Catholics, Eddie, can see that we're missing the mark right now.
You know what? Matter of fact, Jordan Peterson told Bishop Barron,
yeah,
give him hell.
Hey, I love
it. That's what it was, Terry.
He's that man can preach.
You got to give, exactly. One of the things that Father says on that, he talks about serpentine shepherds.
Oh, yes.
Okay? And then he talks about the answer very quickly, but he did give an answer. This is what he says, Terry. This is true. Yeah. This is in the Luke 10:19. This is what it says. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, amen, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, Terry, I think to myself, is this reality? Are some of these failing bishops, are their names disappearing from the book of life in heaven? This is what we have to ponder. We have to ponder that the devil doesn't only take the people that are learning from these bishops. They're taking the bishops themselves to hell that listen to them. So this is what's so important for us, Terry, right now. And I thought that was a good verse to bring up at this point for that. This is something that these bishops, these priests, they have to use their big boy Christian voice, Catholic voice, and be perceived as either divisive or uncharitable, yet they still deny the scriptures. And that's what we brought that up for.
Well, you know what, Eddie? You just said it. Too much that is given bishops responsibility, much is to be expected. Yeah. And, you know, Monsignor George Kelly wrote a book, Battle for the American Church. Jesse and I always talk about, where's the church going? Where its leaders take them. Yeah. So we need to be praying for our leaders. As a matter of fact, Eddie, as you know, every Thursday night, we spend 2 hours before the Blessed Sacrament praying for our Pope, bishops, and priests. You can join us each Thursday night here at the Sacred Heart Chapel.
Yeah, definitely. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Jesus 911. My ride along here is Terry Barber today. Very privileged to have him with us. And so we'll be right back. We're going to switch topics in a little bit, but go to that YouTube video and hear Father Lankett's sermon for last Sunday. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back to Jesus 911. This is Eddie Chavez with Ride Along Terry Barber. We just want to encourage everybody to go to the website and click on that YouTube video, because Father Lankett's sermon was beautiful. There's so much more to say on it, Terry, but we do have to go to another topic. The second topic we're going to talk about is everything we need to know, everything you need to know about ghosts. And this is done by somebody by the name of Philip Kozlowski. He writes the following. He says, Catholics believe in three different types of ghosts, including one type that we should avoid. Often ghosts are depicted in popular culture either as cute, cuddly creatures like Casper the Friendly Ghost or frightening beings that haunt a particular place or person. Yet, in general, most people believe ghosts are object of fiction, not real. But what's the truth about ghosts? Are they real? According to the Catholic Church, yes, ghosts are real, except the Church's definition of ghosts is slightly different than the world's view and includes three different types. So we're going to get into the three different type of ghosts that the article talks about, Terry.
Amen.
The first one says Holy Ghost. So it says this. First of all, the word ghost is traditionally defined as a spirit. In this respect, the Catholic Church hardly affirms that there is a spiritual world around us. These spirits are normally identified as angels. Angels, similar to God, are pure spirit and do exist. It is a truth of faith, and we are obligated to believe in them as Catholics. Now, just to go to the catechism real quick on this, the catechism says in 329, it says, Augustine says, angel is the name of their office, not of their nature. If you seek the name of their nature, it is spirit. If you seek the name of their office, it is angel. From what they are, spirit, from what they do, angel. With their whole beings, the angels are servants and messengers of God. That's the translation of angel, messenger. Because of they always behold the face of my Father who is in heaven, they are the mighty ones who do his work, his word, hearkening to the voice of his word. It also says, in a different catechism verse, 331, it says, Christ is the center of the angelic world. They are his angels. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, it says, they belong to him because they were created through and for him. For in all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. Those are all categories. They're all categories of saints. There's nine of them. All things were created through him and for him. They belong to him, and still more because he has made them messengers of his saving plan. So that's the goal, Terry, the goal of an angel. That's the message that they bring, is his plan of salvation to mankind.
Well said. And the second type is the deceptive demons. On the other hand, while there do exist good angels, and we're going to talk later about them because it's very important to have a devotion to your guardian angel, there also exists bad angels. Now, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, again, your homework, look it up. It's paragraph 414, and this is what the Catechism affirms, that Satan or the devil and other demons are fallen angels who have freely, notice the word freely, refused to serve God and his plan. Now, this type of ghost falls into the definition of spiritual creature. Reality shows, reports of such ghosts are always revolved around something that scares an individual, right? It might be a moving object or a haunted house. Sometimes it's a report of terrifying figures. I'll just stop. I'll tell you where you want to see, hear those. Get Jesse Romero's new book that just came out, Angels and Demons.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. Often, the person who believes they saw a ghost only catches a glimpse of it. But, you know, the experience is chilling. We hear it all the time. This tactic is certainly reminiscent of what demons want to do to us. They want to scare us.
Right, right. Especially what you said, the deceptive demons, Terry. That's their job.
Yeah.
They're to distract us from God's saving plan. And, opposed to that, you have our guardian angels who mm-hmm. who actually communicate to us the plan of God and a way to get there. But I think sometimes we're fascinated, Terry, we're fascinated with the type of ghosts, especially the deceptive ones, and we're distracted from God's plan. This is what I think is happening today. Look at all the shows on cable and regular television. Yeah. They're all surrounded with these kind of phenomenons that are going on.
And personally, I'd like you to focus on your guardian personal angel, because God in his mercy and his providence, this is what the church teaches, assigned to each of us a personal guardian angel. The Catechism of the Catholic Church, again, states, beside each believer stands an angel as a protector and shepherd leading him to life. That's paragraph 336. Look it up and focus in. I always say the unemployment rate for guardian angels is way too high. Put them to work, okay? The angelic ministry concerns our whole life, natural and supernatural. In the natural order, man can do many things on his own, with or without the help of the guardian angels. But hey, on the supernatural level, our Lord tells us, without me, you can do nothing. John 15. We are unable to perform any meritorious act and to progress in the good without the help of God's grace. And by this help of divine graces comes to us through the angels. Who teaches that? St. Thomas Aquinas, the angelic doctor.
Terry, the funny thing is, we look at the work that they do,
yeah,
and we can tell the difference. So our guardian angels bring us to God. They remind us of,
that's right,
of sacred things. They remind us to go to church. They remind us to do all the things that we're supposed to do. Now, the deceptive demons, this is one of the three categories.
Yes.
The deceptive demons are meant to be kind of vague. They're kind of nebulous.
Oh, yeah.
You can't really put your hand on them. So for somebody that's possessed, that's not the case. But for somebody that's oppressed or obsessed,
yes,
they have, they might see something out of the corner of their eye.
Yeah.
They might see a black figure,
yeah,
across the room. And so they're always wondering, what did I see? Was that something that I just saw? What was that? Mm-hmm. And so this is what it is. They're meant to frighten us, Terry. They're meant to distract us from God's plan. And some people make a lifetime of ghost hunting, et cetera, et cetera. These things are what the church warns us of and tries to get us to do is to have a devotion to our guardian angel.
Absolutely. And I want to talk more about it, but I just want to finish what this article talked about.
Yes.
The demons. They see, as Eddie just said, the tactic is certainly reminiscent of what demons want to do. They want to scare us. And this is what I hear so many phone calls. You guys get them all the time. People calling and say, I'm scared about X, Y, and Z. And I always tell people, are you praying? Are you asking God for stronger faith? Are you praying your daily rosary? Are you going to the Mass as often as possible? Are you making visits to the Blessed Sacrament? If they say no, and I said, get to it, man. Because demons want to trick us to believe that they are powerful and to gain our submission.
Exactly.
And it's an old tactic, isn't it?
Sure it is. You know, it's reminiscent of a religion that I'm thinking about here that has a submission. We won't go there.
Oh, yeah. Islam. I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah, exactly. Terry, and then the third spirit we're going to talk about is spirits of the dead. And this is kind of interesting because it says the third category of ghosts does not fit the definition of an angel or a demon. There have been countless stories throughout the centuries of saints or souls in purgatory who visit people on earth. Saints appear to people to urge them on and give them hope of eternal life. And souls in purgatory typically come to ask for prayers or to thank someone for their prayers. Now, the saints have attested through the centuries of seeing souls from purgatory, but these souls always seek the prayers of those they appear to, and then they thank them when the prayers have been offered to heaven on their behalf. So souls in purgatory have a purpose behind their appearance and do not seek or scare or intimidate us. Now, you're dealing with a supernatural, so there might be some kind of a supernatural phenomenon that you're not aware of, that you're not sure of. But generally speaking, there's not a definite feeling of fear. Now, the church officially does not have anything written in stone regarding the souls who appear after death. Those stories and the common experience of people appear to confirm this phenomena. It is possible that some ghosts are the spirits of deceased relatives who seek to give us a word of comfort or even warning but the church has not said either way whether that could be the case or not. So I think, Terry, yeah. the reason for this is the church is not committed one way or the other, mm-hmm. is that demons are opportunists.
Yeah.
So when you have the soul of a deceased relative, when you have the soul of a friend that wants your prayers, that they feign, they use this as a ruse to get in to communicate with somebody and establish a relationship. That's the problem.
Absolutely. About 40 years ago, I read a book called Purgatory from Tan Books, and it's got hundreds of stories of souls coming back from the dead to either thank individuals for praying for them when they were in purgatory. And I'll never forget the one about some nun who made a deal, and I'll never forget the deal was, if you die first, I'm going to offer having masses prayed for you. Just not a bad deal. I did it when I was in the monastery with one monk, and I'm still holding that deal. We're going to pray for each other. So the nun said, okay, if you die first, I'll have masses offered for you. So she did. She died early in her life, and then about 6 months after they prayed, had all the prayers prayed for that sister, one night in the chapel, the nun came and just thanked the community and the sister there for their prayers, because she now is in the beatific vision of God, and it was because of the sacrifices and prayers that the community prayed for her soul. Why do I say this? Because, hey, you don't hear this everywhere. This is reality. The stuff that we're down here on planet Earth, you know, we got to deal with. But the supernatural life is as real as my hand up in the air right now, even more. And so I say this, if you want to get inspired to pray for the poor souls, read Purgatory, and it's by Father Schwartz, and it's with Tan Books. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah, Terry, you know, when we come back from the break, I'm going to share a story of something that's going on at work with somebody who's currently going on.
Wow.
But it's very interesting because, like you said, the supernatural, there's such a thin veil between the natural and the supernatural.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, we can almost feel the other side sometimes, especially during times when we're dealing with these kinds of spirits, et cetera. And that's the reality of it. So we're gonna talk when we come back about how angels can come back and actually ask someone in a way for their prayers, for their help, even though they've led a life of sin. I'm gonna give a good example of that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Jesus 911. We're gonna be in our last segment coming up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
And don't forget the Spiritual Warfare Conference coming up the 11th of January. It's coming up. Go ahead and go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and register. Love to see you there. This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. We'll be right back.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back to Jesus 911 for our final segment. This is Eddie Chavez and Terry Barber here with you. Terry, we were talking about angels, the three types of angels that we have.
Yes.
And I remembered a story from work. And it's actually still currently going on, but it gives you an example of what people may or may not do, even in the supernatural, if they're given the grace of purgatory. So this is what it is. I had a call from an officer that I used to work with some time ago. She went through somebody else. And what happened was, she says, Eddie, there's something going on. You know, my adopted child is having some problems, and he's communicating with something in the room. I'm not sure what it is. She says, you know, I'm not Catholic. My husband is. But the reality is that I have to take him away from a corner of the room, because in the corner of the room, there seems to be something that he sees that he's communicating with.
Oh.
And I said, okay, let's deal with this. So we talked a little bit more, interviewed her, and she says, yeah, what we're going to do then, we're going to bring Father over there. Father wanted to go there to bless the house, because it had never been blessed before. And so about a year ago, that's what happened. Terry, we went over there. I went with him.
Good.
We went ahead and blessed the house. Father went throughout the house. We say that our prayers at the bottom floor. He went all throughout the house. Didn't find anything that was, you know, demonic or indicative that there may be some kind of house infestation, etc. So, took care of the problem. I called her about a month later. No, it all went away. It's great. Well, about 4 or 5 months ago, she calls me again and she says, Eddie, I have an additional problem. She says, I should say this. They adopted this little young child from parents that were involved in gangs. Matter of fact, the father was involved in a gang and had been murdered in a gang fight.
Oh no!
So the father was gone. The mother gave up the child.
Yeah.
So she tells me all the details about this, and I said, okay. So she says, this is what we did, Eddie. We set up a camera in the room, mm-hmm. and sometimes with a camera, we can see things going on, and it's not dust or anything. So she sends me the link.
Wow.
And I see it on my phone. I have it on my phone.
Sure.
And Terry, you could see in the room in the middle of the night, there is a blue orb.
Wow.
In the room that's floating down, but then it floats up. And it's very interesting that her husband and the child are in the same room. He's a little child, he was about 2 or 3 at the time, but now he's about 5 or 6. And so what happens is this is what happened. So I said, you know what, this is what we should do. And I verified this. I spoke with Father, but I said, listen, if this is what we believe it to be, an orb of that color sometimes is associated with a disembodied human spirit. Uh-huh. I thought to myself, you know what? It very well could be that that's Dad coming back to where the child is, trying to be noticed and give an indication that he needs prayer. So what I did was I told her, this is what you should do. And she said, well, I'm still not Catholic. I go, well, first of all, I says, she wasn't hostile toward it. She was kind of okay with it. She says, you know what? What can I do? I says, you know what? You go to your Catholic church and you offer a mass for the baby's father's name. You offer a mass for him. You guys, at the same time when the mass is being said, if you can't attend it, you pray with the child a rosary for the repose of the soul. And not specifically, because obviously they're not going to tell the child that, but they're going to pray for him at the same time. And then you have other Catholics do the same thing. And what you do is you ask God that he would liberate this this person's soul, if that's in fact what it was. And there was nothing weird going on at all, nothing they were afraid of, Terry. So I thought to myself, you know, it's been a couple of months, so I think I'm going to call her and see what's going on. But I haven't heard anything, and that's usually a good sign. So let's hope that worked.
Wow. You know, I just think of what Matthew 18 says about the guardian angel. Jesus says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angel in heaven is always looking upon their face of my heavenly Father." So what did we learn from all this? I mean, Jesse, Eddie, your story is remarkable, but it just proves, again, the spiritual realm of life that we're in. So what I would encourage our listeners to do is to entrust themselves to their guardian angel and learn from your guardian angel. Always look upon the face of God, contemplating his wisdom and love. And from his face, he reads the loving, wise will of the Father for us to receive the necessary graces to fulfill it, and when he is in turn communicates to us. So think about this, what the church teaches about your angel. From the very beginning until death, human life is surrounded by angels. We just talked about this all day here at the show. The watchful care of the intercession, paragraph 336 of the Catechism, makes this very clear. God, again, has assigned a personal guardian angel to each of us, which he has assigned to no one else. No angel is guardian angel of two human beings. God has you and your salvation in mind when he created the angel. Just as the Jesus and Mary were in the mind of God in relation to each other from all eternity, as of new Adam and the new Eve, so also from all eternity, your guardian angel is in the mind of God. And let's face it, everybody, it's a privilege that God has given to us a guardian angel so that we can be protected, not just from physical harm, but spiritual harm, so that we can get to heaven. And you know, Jesse, Eddie, your story that you just told, I was cringing to hear that story, but I know that you and Jesse, being in the police background, you guys see evil up front.
You know, Terry, and that's something that prepared me for this job, because I'll tell you what, for a long time I looked at it as something that was scary, mm-hmm. almost like one of these ghost shows, you know, phenomenon of it. But once you learn the reality of it, once you come back to your faith and you understand what's going on, it's truly a battle.
Yeah.
It's true. Now, there's no guardian angel that's outranked by another angel. You know, there's different levels of angels, different, you know, jobs that they do, et cetera. But a guardian angel is just as powerful, if not more powerful, because he does have God's word behind him, than any other deceptive demon, et cetera, that you might encounter. So that's the reality, Terry. The reality is that the angels are our friends. We need, like you said, to ingratiate ourselves to our guardian angels, because that's what's important.
Absolutely. And living in the presence of God, what does it begin with? It's the fruit of prayer. It leads the soul to a greater union with him. Hence, our Lord told us that we need to pray always without becoming weary. This is Luke chapter 18. And again, the Catechism of the Catholic Church explains that to live in God's presence is to pray without ceasing. The life of prayer is a habit of being in the presence of God. So this communion of life is always possible because of our baptism, everyone. We've all been baptized. We've already been united to Christ. In other words, through a consent of living in the presence of God, our whole life becomes a prayer.
Yeah, that's it, Terry. That's the whole thing. When we receive our guardian angel, it's with us to death.
Amen, brother.
Until God decides what to do with us. That's what we look forward to. We look forward to being in the grace of God at the time of our death because of our guardian angel.
Wow.
So this is wonderful. This is something
excited.
Yeah, well, yeah, me too. But the reality is we have to stay in a state of grace. We have to avoid mortal sin. And this is something our guardian angel can help us with, Terry. It's not something that's beyond him, because that's his job, is to keep us in a state of grace.
Wow, Eddie, the show is almost over. And I just want you to know, if you just tuned in, you're saying, where's Jesse Romero? Well, Jesse will be back on Monday. He's out of state in some training on spiritual warfare. I'm sure when he comes back, he's got a lot to tell us. I just happen to be on the ride along with Eddie. I love riding with these guys. You know what that does for me? It builds my faith. And I hope Jesus 911 is building your faith. Not only Jesus 911, but all the shows on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Why? Because we come in here with one goal, to help you to get to heaven. And I just want to thank the folks who have been supporting the new shows that are coming out here at Virgin Most Powerful. By your monthly support, monthly donors are the key to paying monthly bills. And if you haven't become a monthly donor yet, you'll be the last one of the month. This is the end of the month. Call us at 877-526-2151 or go on our website, Virgin Most Powerful Radio, because we need it. That's how we continue to proclaim Christ and Him crucified through Virgin Most Powerful with the best quality equipment we can purchase, because you know what? God deserves the best. Don't you agree? And I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the support you've been giving us, prayerful support and financial support.
Yeah, Terry, you know what? We should pray right now, but our guardian angels will inspire people to contribute to the station, to do goodwill, and let's, matter of fact, let's offer this next Angel of God prayer to the angels of people that don't listen to them. The like Terry says, the out of they're out of work guardian angels.
Yeah, unemployed.
So let's pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Angel of God, our guardian dear, to whom God's love entrusts us here, ever this day be at our side, to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us. Jesus, thank you. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a great show. I'm glad to have Terry with us here. And it's always good to have the boss with you, you know?
Jesus is always with us, brother.
That's right.
Just happened to be like you, trying to serve Jesus through his church. And I just want to leave you on this thought, our listener. Holiness is not something for the elect. No, it's for each one of us. And how do you become holy? You will it. St. Thomas Aquinas said that in his Summa. Will it. And so when people tell me, oh, I can't do it. Yes, you can. And when you fall, I only have one question. Did you get up? Confession. If you haven't been to confession in a long time and you're waiting for someone to send you, that's me. Go to confession. It's good for the soul. As a matter of fact, Eddie, didn't someone, it was the exorcist who said that going to confession is more powerful than an exorcism?
Father Morth said that. And you know what, Terry, that's when you're at a point in your life when you say, I can't go on, this is so difficult. Yeah. And we all go through them. Life is valleys and valleys and mountains. And so the reality is at those times, you'll find that that's when the deceptive demons are in your mind, are trying to dissuade you from doing what they know is right. You have to give power to your guardian angel. Offer that prayer we just set up to your guardian angel so that you can, like I heard a bishop one time give a homily. There's two dogs on each of our shoulders. You got to feed the one on the right more than the one on the left, because that way he's stronger to get the bad one off of you. So that's that makes sense to me. Terry, we're gonna sign off now. Thank you for joining in, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna have Gary Machuda come in with Hands-On Apologetics. Thanks for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to be with you. We're gonna be back tomorrow at some point with more Jesus 9-1, and later today, of course, Terry and Jesse Show without Jess.
And when we come back after Gary's show, Matt Arnold's gonna join the Terry and Jesse Show, and we've got some material on Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Pray for us. It's his feast day. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare with St. Ignatius. Thanks again for joining us here at Jesus 911. May God bless you and full sheen ahead at Virgin Most Powerful.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.